Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
And because we've done away with those long, never-ending intros, we get to spend more time with you. And welcome to Bowerly and Bellavia. We made it to Friday on News Radio 930 WBEN. Phil Kennedy at Master Control. Sean Murphy is your call screener. And we have a couple of Irishmen in the next room. Well, Americans of Irish background. As for me, I'm the Lucky Charms guy saying, they're always after me, Lucky Charms. David, a very busy night for you last night. I heard you and Michael Caputo and Tim Wenger and the cast of thousands that is the WBEN newsroom with primary coverage and one of the biggest surprises of the night. And I heard the excitement in your voice, you know, kind of grudging excitement, the fact that Erie County actually made a difference in a statewide race.
Well, look, at ideology aside, it's an incredible, successful victory for Jeremy Zellner, for Mark Poloncarz, for the Erie County Democratic Party. There are very few times that you can point to our region as making a difference in an election. Now, had it not been for really Kathy Hochul's old congressional district, people that really know Kathy Hochul and, you know, the rural counties as well. You can also throw Monroe County in there. There's no way she is the lieutenant governor. She's not on the ticket if that support wasn't there. And they got the vote out, and, you know, you expect her to do well. You don't expect 80%. That's quite impressive.
Well, and that, you know, again, we have to – I got to give respect and props to Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz and the Democrat Chairman Jeremy Zellner, because getting out the vote, David, as you well know with your political background, getting out the vote is everything. It's not just one thing. It is everything. And the two of those guys and the Democrat machinery of Erie County kicked into high gear. And as much as I don't like to have to say this, I have to give them props for doing their job and doing it very well.
And it's a slippery slope when you do that, because as much as you want to support, you know, your hometown favorite in Kathy Hochul, there is a tremendous amount of anti-Cuomo, you know, there's a lot of apathy out there when it comes to Governor Cuomo. There's Democrats that don't appreciate the stain that he's put on the party in New York State. I mean, look, you can say whatever you want to about the policies of Andrew Cuomo, the SAFE Act, and all the things that we sort of gnash our teeth over, but there's scandal has been everywhere, and the scandal is not 6 degrees separated from Andrew Cuomo. This is right in his back pocket. This is, you know, those closest to him, Percoco and the whole Simonelli debacle. These are folks that have supported him throughout his entire career, that are close to his family. And there are Democrats out there that are saying, listen, you know, it doesn't really matter whether you find someone that's left of center and is a Democrat. What is your allegiance to Andrew Cuomo outside of the fact that he represents your party and most of your thoughts? There's not a Democrat that was in that race or that you could throw a dart and hit. And we're going to talk to next week. We just set up an interview with the mayor, Mayor Minor, the former mayor of Syracuse, who's now running an independent candidacy against Andrew Cuomo.
Mayor Minor.
Very talented.
If she'd have joined the military, she could have been Major Minor.
Major Minor. That's true. But we're talking. So it's not like you're going to get someone that's, oh, well, they're a conservative Democrat. That doesn't exist in New York State. Andrew Cuomo brings a lot, and he's trying to sort of exercise the demons. And I don't care what anyone says. He has aspirations to become president. And if that's going to happen, it's going to happen it's got to happen in the next 18 months. But here's the real takeaway. You know, someone texted me at the end of the program yesterday when we were doing extended coverage on WBEN over the primary. You know, the real winner in this it's going to be a stadium for downtown Buffalo. It's going to be the potential of a new convention center for downtown Buffalo, because the Buffalo Billion was a complete disaster. And whether or not you think it was successful, the money went where it was supposed to go, it is perceived to be a boondoggle. It was perceived to be a corrupt enterprise. So when you heard Kim Pegula out of the blue, unsolicited, say, "We're not going to talk about a new stadium until after the gubernatorial race, after Election Day," well, that to me is a little bit of tea leaf reading.
But to have a new football stadium, don't we need a professional football team? Isn't that kind of an important component with that whole equation?
That would be helpful. But most robust, healthy American cities have all of their main attractions in their downtown area. And it's very difficult to point to a major metropolitan area in the United States that does that has to drive 45 minutes to go to a large venue.
So the takeaway from this is that Kathy Hochul getting the nod as lieutenant governor is a step in that direction, because she will be the advocate for Western New York. As much as we may not agree with her politics, at least she is from this end of the state.
No, I don't think Kathy Hochul has a thing to do with it. I think it's Andrew Cuomo is making drug deals right now, and I think that's part of the offer that he's going to put towards, you know, Western New York. Look, I mean, what are you pointing to under the Cuomo administration that has been good for Buffalo? If anything, we should have elected Terry Pegula as governor of the state of New York. Who has done more for Western New York than Terry Pegula? Terry Pegula should be the governor and the president of the People's Republic of New York. He's done more for Buffalo. Jobs, opportunity, hope. I mean, you want to talk about the waterfront and the hotels and everything else. I mean, you're going to go to Uncle Terry at some point and say, "We might need a new arena. How much are you in for?" I mean, there are owners in professional sports that are good for 10%. Terry Pegula is not that owner. You're going to look and lean on him for a lion's share of the cost. And honestly, it's the way it should be. If you're making a profit off a business, you should be the one investing in it. But that being said, Cuomo has a lot to do with making good with upstate New York. Buffalo was part of that problem, and Rochester has been all but ignored.
But you know, David, the one problem I see with that is that Andrew Cuomo's eyes are squarely on 2020. He wants to be the next president of the United States. So Buffalo may get short shrift due to the population situation, because Andrew Cuomo fundamentally recognizes that the votes and the support from New York City and the bedroom communities of New York City, that's his bread and butter.
Well, I don't think you're going to see a stadium built while Cuomo is still the governor. I think it's still going to be probably 2023. That's when the lease expires. And, you know, but the groundwork has to be laid in the next 18 months if that's going to happen. But here's the reality. Governor Cuomo is going to wake up and realize, I have a better chance of, you know, flying out the window than he does of being president. These Democratic socialists and everyone who's moving far left, that's all cool in the gang for popular votes. But when it comes to an electoral college, if you are anti-gun, if you want to put a tax on soda pop like Mayor Bloomberg, if you want to do all of this stuff, guess what? That's not going to play in the South. And we have gotten to a point in our presidential elections where it really comes down to five states. There's 45 states that are just on paper. The five states that are in play, you got Florida, Ohio. Those are two big ones. And then you've got the one or the other. You can get Pennsylvania or North Carolina. You can get Virginia or Michigan. But everyone knows New York is going to be blue. Everyone knows that, you know, Alabama is going to be red. The states that are in play, the toss-up states, when you talk about core bedrock issues, that's not flyover country in Ohio. It's not flyover country in Florida. If you start talking about, you know, overreaching with the federal government, if you start messing around with guns, if you, you know, start, what plays in Brooklyn does not play in Ohio. It doesn't play in Florida. And we're finding out, you know, just in the gubernatorial race in Florida. I mean, I've never seen polling more exaggerated than this gubernatorial race in Florida. This Gillum guy, they're not even canvassing areas that are they're not talking about the panhandle in Florida. They're not going into areas. Central Florida is much more than Orlando. You can't go and say, well, Central Florida is really with the Tallahassee mayor right now. The Tallahassee mayor is under FBI investigation for fraud. This is, again, whatever the mainstream media wants to say, it always comes down to election night. And a Governor Cuomo candidate model absolutely is dead on arrival in an electoral college. It's never going to happen.
It is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. Now, for those of you who are bored out of your minds anytime somebody talks about politics, chill. It's all good because what we're doing a recap of what happened yesterday. David Bellavia, Michael Caputo, Tim Wenger, and the entire WBEN newsroom did a great job with our primary coverage. As far as the Cynthia Nixon versus Andrew Cuomo situation, I thought that Cynthia Nixon was going to lose by 18 points, and it turns out that I was way off.
I didn't actually think you said that. I thought you were saying she was going to get 18%, which what many would have argued. See, I don't care. Everyone knew Cynthia Nixon was going to get crushed. That wasn't the question. The question was how many, you know, what percentage she would get in a primary with a sitting governor. If a third of the people are voting against you, you're in trouble. That is a sign. Now, look at Teach Out. The last time there was a primary against Governor Cuomo, you know, this was a woman who didn't get barely broke 20%. Yesterday, Cynthia Nixon got close to 35% of the vote.
That is astonishing. That is extraordinary.
But it also opens the door to other people, like we're seeing with the former mayor in Syracuse, who says, hey, I'll run an independent run against Cuomo. You throw a far left Democratic socialist in Cynthia Nixon. You put an independent progressive on the ballot. You throw a libertarian in there and you have a Republican. That is the best case scenario for Mark Molinaro. And he's got a ton of momentum. He's a very likable guy. There's not a whole lot of baggage that he carries into the ballot box. But here's the other thing. He's fresh. He's coming into this from downstate. He's got a lot of support, you know, in the areas that are outside of sort of the deep blue areas of downstate New York. And when he comes into Western New York, people roll out the red carpet. So
no, he was on this show in studio.
Yeah, no. So he's got, this is one on one. It's trouble for any Republican. But a guy like Mark Molinaro has the youth, the vitality, and he's got three other people that are going to be literally sucking the lifeline out of Andrew Cuomo on election night.
But, you know, David, to counterbalance that, we've also got a lot of votes from people in Puerto Rico who consider New York City or New York State to be their actual state of residence, so they'll be able to cast their absentee votes. You have a very large Puerto Rican community in New York City. I don't think it's any accident that Governor Cuomo took such an active role in the damage done by that other storm down in Puerto Rico and obviously tried to shame Donald Trump over that situation.
Well, that actually is going to come back to bite all the Democrats right now that are accusing Donald Trump of revisionist history with the death count Puerto Rico. You know, if 3,000 people were killed in Puerto Rico, you would think that Andrew Cuomo, when he was there 15 times, would mention the 3,000 that died in Puerto Rico. That number is very similar to the death count that we had when the Iraq War started. You had UN organizations that were going door to door in Baghdad that were asking, do you know anyone that was killed since the Americans invaded? And they would say, yes, I have four cousins. Okay, four dead. Let's move on to the next house. How many people do you know that were killed? I know 10 people. Okay, we're not looking at bodies. We don't have DNA. We're not looking at grave areas. We are just throwing it's basically just a generated model, a number that's an estimate of how many people died. Now, if 5,000 people died, if 4,000 people died, I have to question the media why that story is not front and center. I mean, if you don't think the president cares about 3,000 dead in Puerto Rico, I mean, that's 9/11 numbers.
Right. No matter what Trump does, he's going to be chastised. But let's get back to this idea of a crowded field. David, I know it's very difficult to say, but the probability that Andrew Cuomo might not be governor increases, I believe, the more crowded the field is and the more people can suck off votes from the far left. I think the Libertarian candidate is probably going to hurt Molinaro more than Andrew Cuomo. But I still think that with the Democrat machine in New York State, with the get out the vote apparatus they have, I think it's a very uphill battle for Molinaro to emerge victorious in that race.
Well, you know, it is right now. We don't know. This is a journey to get to election day. We have no idea what could happen. Scandals, October surprise. Here's the deal. If Trump's approval rating goes up to 48%, let's say that Trump's October surprise is releasing the FISA court transcripts. Let's say we get the actual warrants from the FISA courts, and we find out that this entire thing is complete, utter nonsense, and it's totally made up, and we've been lied to for 18 months, which I believe we have been. All of a sudden, we have a little bit of a momentum shift. And if that momentum shift happens at the right time, what we know now is that a far left candidate is going to take up to 20 to 25% of the vote away from Andrew Cuomo. So that means that the striking distance that Molinaro needs to be in is around the 38 to 42%. It's sort of like we're looking at a situation like 1992 when you had, you know, how much of the vote do you think Ross Perot could steal away from George W. Bush? By the way, Clinton never got over 50% in two elections.
Right.
So there's a very good chance that Mark Molinaro can be your next governor at 40% of the vote.
On the other hand, though, David, just like the Republicans, you know how the Republicans, we often are given, well, I'm not a Republican, but Republicans are often given basically a choice where they have to hold their nose and pull the, indicate the vote, like I had to do for John McCain and I had to do for Mitt Romney. Aren't the Democrats likely to do the same thing and say, look, these other people don't have a chance of being elected governor. I'm going to hold my nose. I'm going to vote for Andrew Cuomo, because if I don't, that increases the chances of Molinaro getting elected.
Well, see, here's the problem. That 25% of the Democratic Party that wants to go to the cultural Marxism, I don't think they really truly understand Marxism in general. I just had a conversation with a couple of guys in New York City today about, is it neo-Marxism? Is it what is it? And they're like, no, it's cultural Marxism. These far-left guys have no idea what Marxism actually is. If they did, no one would ever sign up for it. So this cultural Marxism that they want to talk about wealth distribution, but they're wearing a $7,000 Gucci pantsuit. I mean, that's not socialism if you're wearing a $7,000 Fashion Week outfit. So if these folks, if that represents 25% of the Democratic Party in New York State, they wanted a far-left lieutenant governor. That would have helped them vote for Andrew Cuomo, because they see Kathy Hochul very much like they see Michael Bloomberg. They see, you know, they don't forget that she was a congresswoman who got the NRA endorsement. And that's going to hurt his ballot and hurt his ticket. But again, what does it say about Andrew Cuomo? A, that he doesn't show up at his own acceptance. He doesn't even give a speech. He doesn't even show up at his own party. This is a humiliated, wounded guy. There's blood in the water. And by the way, why isn't the former mayor of Syracuse, who was a partner of Cuomo, why is she throwing her hat in the ring now? Why do we have other people still on the ballot? Still, because this guy is unpopular. And again, he can't run away. He spent $14 million, got $11 million left. Where is he going to spend that money? And are the Democratic Party ready to get rid of him?
We need to take a break on News Radio 930 WBEN. We have plenty of stuff coming up for those of you listening who may not be into politics. That's totally cool, because we've got non-political stuff coming up on News Radio 930. You are hearing Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN, the voice of Buffalo. All right, Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN, and good to be with you on this Friday, and hopefully your drive is okay. Mine was not, because, as I've said many a time this summer, you can probably relate to this, you can't get from point A to point B in Western New York without running into a wall of traffic. Last night, Main Street, Williamsville, you know, they're doing this whole big project on Main Street in Buffalo, Main Street in Williamsville, which is going to be great when it's done. But man, when it's 10:30 at night and you've got a traffic jam that goes from North Forest virtually back to the high school, that's just a little bit much. I'm just saying. But I was almost going to call the Cajun Navy for evacuation when I was stuck in traffic on Main Street last night, David. The Cajun Navy is in the news again. And why, pray tell, David, would the Cajun Navy, so-called, be in the news again?
Well, because the Cajun Navy is a group of volunteers that just basically take around bass boats and help people out. There's always that, you know, we all want to depend on first responders, but I think the key to survivability is hopefully when that first responder is a second responder. And, you know, one of the things that we've been hearing about with these storms, you know, these first responders they have families too, and they have homes, and they just pick up and do their job and help other people, and they rarely help themselves. And you've got the Coast Guard, you've got the military and the reserves and the National Guard out there. But there's a lot of people that this storm is affecting. We're looking at the potential of 3 million people without power. But they've been told for 5 days, this is where it's going to hit. I mean, there's been some changes, obviously, in the course of the storm. But you have to, if you're told to not to leave an area. Today, we heard a story of a town in North Carolina that 150 people that needed to be rescued. Well, hold on for a second. That town had 8,000 people in it.
Say what?
150 people decided to stay behind. And, you know, folks say, well, you know, it's an economic situation. Maybe you can't afford to move. I'm not sure you're looking at the same video that I'm looking at. These houses are over $600,000. The Outer Banks is not a low-income area.
Not at all.
If you've gone to vacation there anytime, this is a, you know, if you have beachfront property, if you have waterfront property, automatically you know that we're not talking about a cost of living issue. We're talking about people that wanted to stay back and protect their belongings, which is their right. They can ignore whatever they want to ignore, but why should someone else put their life in jeopardy because you ignored, you know, what I think is a pretty sober and prudent order, which is to just get out and put your life first, put your family and your pet's life before
yours. It's not like there wasn't plenty of warning on this, David, and I know that there are all kinds of reasons. I'm trying to put myself in the situation of those people who live where the hurricane was supposed to make landfall, but, you know, obviously you're going to have some people who are non-ambulatory. You know, it's very difficult for them to move around. Elderly people, people in wheelchairs, maybe people who just got over major surgery. You know, they're going to need a little bit more time, but they had enough time to get out. Then there are those people who stick around because they don't want their property to be looted after they go away and after everything is blown wide open. But that being said, it seems to me, David, to be an incredibly selfish decision when you intentionally disregard mandatory evacuation orders, or for that matter, even a suggestion that you might want to get the hell out of Dodge, causing other people then to put their lives in danger and in jeopardy to save your buttocks.
You hear it all the time when there's driving bans and people call in with the constitutionality of a driving ban. I totally hear where you're coming. The libertarian argument of can you tell an American citizen that they can't travel? All right, all that aside, if there's bad weather coming to Western New York and you know that schools are closing and roads are shutting down and they're putting out an advisory or a travel ban, if you decide that you are going to continue to do what you have to do regardless of the ban that's out there, well, you're putting yourself in a situation where if you're upside down in your car, we're going to get to you when we get to you. I mean, that's just the way it is. At some point, you have to show some sort of accountability for your own actions. And in a situation where you've got the flood wall that we're seeing right now, 24 inches of rain. And again, this is now a Category 1 storm with 75-mile-an-hour winds, 100-mile-an-hour gusts. That's down probably 65 miles an hour from where it was yesterday. It was a Category 4 when it was in the ocean. Probably hit land at a Category 3 in between. But it's been downgraded because it's making its way inland. And we'll probably get
Because Donald Trump decreed that it be downgraded. Because after all, he was being blamed when it looked like it could be one of those mega storms. So now he ought to get the credit because he waved his magic weather machine wand to make it less than a hurricane.
In partnership with the CIA.
Indeed.
Their weather machine. But you know, if you're in a spot where you need to be rescued out of an area because you ignored government. I mean, to me, the argument was always made when New Orleans got hit, you know, hey, why didn't local civic authorities and state authorities do more? And then it became, well, black people, white people, and Kanye West went on national television and told everyone that George W. Bush didn't care about anyone other than white people. And it was divisive and it was crazy. But there was an argument to be made that there were people that were in, you know, areas that it would cost them money they did not have, to be able to pick up their stuff and get out or jump on a bus or do whatever the case may be. You could make the argument that in a large, you know, heavily populated city in America, that there are some people that either are disenfranchised because of the economic gap between the rich, the have and the have nots. You could make that argument. I disagree because I thought there was plenty of opportunity for folks that didn't have the money to get on a bus or get out. Neither here nor there. This is not the situation you're seeing in the Carolinas right now.
Because, as you said at the very beginning, when you look at these houses are $500,000, well over $500,000. So the idea that the people did not evacuate because they lacked the financial resources to do it, I think, is specious. And I have a hard time believing that the municipal authorities did not supply some kind of shuttle transportation for those who don't have vehicles.
Unlike the other storms that we've seen in the past, even Houston and the one that hit Florida last year, the federal government, whether it was lessons learned from Puerto Rico or, you know, the political fallout from whatever FEMA was, I've heard nothing but glowing remarks post-Katrina FEMA. They've restructured everything at FEMA. But the accessibility to funds, they had federal money accessible before the storm even hit the land. They had money going into that area for water and for filtration systems and pumps and backup generators and diesel fuel. All of that was accessible and being staged before, as the storm was building. The storm was thought to be a Category 5 in the Atlantic Ocean, and they were stockpiling fuel and generators and pumps. So you can't say that they weren't prepared federally and at the state level. And unlike New York State, you know, these states in the South tend to be a little bit more responsible when it comes to emergency spending. Texas had a rainy day fund of $15 billion. I mean, that's what we spent on Medicaid. Think about it. And these guys save that money just in case. North Carolina and South Carolina, they have a plethora of money in savings. The federal government's ready to help. But folks just didn't want to go for whatever reason.
So should other people put their lives at risk to save the people who refuse to listen to the orders to get out of Dodge? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Of course, David, it would be very difficult, I think, especially for somebody like yourself, to just sit back knowing that, hey, I've got a boat right here, and you know what? I could probably safely go and evacuate people, but because they didn't get out of their own volition when they had the chance after the suggestion or order came through, screw them. I'm going to leave them to their fate. I can't imagine you doing that.
Well, I don't even know. I mean, so if your first responsibility is to your family, right? So you got to get your family out. And if you're an able-bodied adult and you can help people out, that's great. But there's also a fine line between trying to help first responders and getting in their way. And we've seen that a lot, even in Western New York with storms. I mean, there's folks that are going through and clearing off roofs and making sure that, you know, the throughway is clear. Then you got folks that take it into their own hands and want to get out there and try to help. But in essence, they're in the way of people that can do more help at a larger scale. So it's sort of, sometimes it becomes a double-edged sword. Your intentions are good, but there are professionals that can do it better. You know, Erie County emergency managers, they don't need some guy with a pickup truck to, you know, play hero. They've got tons of folks that are ready to do it and are prepared to do it. So to me, in this situation with the Cajun Navy, these are just folks that are needed because there are people. I mean, when you're talking about flood water, there's a limited amount of time. Exposure alone. I mean, we always talk about World War I. You get your feet wet and boots, you're in trouble. But hypothermia, all the sewage that's out there, that could really hit you fast.
Well, let's find out what people listening have to say. And, you know, we've got to have people listening to us right now who have folks, friends, family, and loved one down in the hurricane area. Anybody stick around? Anybody not evacuate in your family or circle of friends? Here's Mike on a cell phone on WBEN. Mike, should other people put their lives at risk to save people who did not heed the reasonable warnings to get out of town?
I say absolutely not. If there is a deadline set, you know, get out of Dodge by 5 p.m. and they don't get out of Dodge, then you don't risk life or limb of first responders. After things calm down and these people are calling in, please get me off my roof or whatever, if there is no immediate life or limb danger, let them sit there for an extra day or two. Let them sit in their second floor window looking at the water. If it's still rising, that's another story. But I say, Tom, I'm sorry, you said earlier, David said, you know, we'll get to you when we get to you.
Now, have you ever been in a situation here in Buffalo where we've had driving bans or travel bans?
Yes, I have. I've lived here for many years in Western New York, and when they say don't go out on the roads, I don't go out on the roads. You prepare, you know, Jimmy Griffin, we get an extra six-pack or two, whatever, food. You just don't not prepare for things like this. If you live in that kind of an area and they're telling you it's going to be bad, you believe them. Pay attention, get out.
Thank you very much for the call, Mike. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. You know how voice-to-text sometimes doesn't communicate what you want to communicate? Here's an example. We just got a text, and I'm going to read it to you. How many times this week alone have these people been told that they need to get the hell out of their houses? I'm sure they were watching the hurricane from last year. That was ridiculous and devastating. How many people didn't ejaculate that either and had to be rescued? The phone heard the word ejaculate. The word that was intended was evacuate. So you always have to be careful with voice to text. You might want to double check it. I'm just saying we've all had texts that did not come out quite the way we wanted.
That's right.
So would you put your life at risk for somebody who was told to get out of Dodge but who didn't? And in Buffalo, you know, David, we certainly have had our share of winter storms where travel bans are in effect, winter travel restrictions are in effect, and invariably people get pulled over and get tickets for that when they're driving in areas where there is in fact a driving ban except for non-essential people.
Yeah, you know, that non-essential thing is kind of curious, too, because, I mean, if you have to, for example, a radio guy who's doing extended coverage is now essential, which I would beg to...
This is true.
You know, I have to do the show. It's my duty as an American to do 4 hours on the Trump, you know, economy.
Well, no, typically during the winter driving situations in Buffalo, media are exempted because we do act as the conduits of information. So technically we are considered essential. Doctors, nurses considered essential. Police officers, first responders considered essential. I would argue that the clerk at the Crosby's with the pizza is also essential.
Well, listen, you know, the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, Dave in West Seneca writes in and says, you know, I think they should be billed. If, you know, if your rescue costs, you know, they put a arbitrary number on how much money they spent trying to get you off your roof or wherever you're, you know, you have to be rescued from, that'll change things real quick. I mean, I don't know if you've ever had the misfortune of being mercy flighted anywhere, but that could be an expensive helicopter ride. Even if it's 10 minutes, you're spending a lot of money. Could you imagine if a Coast Guard chopper has to drop a ladder down and someone has to, you know, float down and pull you out of something? Well, here's $15,000. Maybe you should listen to your governor.
Bowerly and Bellavia. So what do you make of the people who did not evacuate and the efforts that had to be made to evacuate the people after the fact who had plenty of room before the fact to get away from the path of the hurricane? It's swathe.
Well, a lot of people are saying, wait a minute, we pay for these services. These are part of our tax dollars. Well, you know, the allocation of essential services and emergency services, I mean, think about it this way. If it's an emergency that can be avoided, that means not only are you saving taxpayer dollars, but you're also getting to things that you can't avoid, which is why it necessitates an emergency. If a whole town decides to stay put and the town is like, hey, we'll get to you, but it's going to cost us resources, manpower, and maybe just maybe, you know, a person through is trapped at the hospital, it's a lot more difficult to evacuate ECMC in an emergency than it would be your residential neighborhood. If you're able-bodied and able to get in a car or walk out on your own, why should we want to spend the time going to the nursing home, going to the place where, you know, people are ill and can't leave, rather than go to a place where healthy people just want to ignore?
Hey, just do us a favor. If you're going to call the radio station during the show, unless you want to go on the air, please do not use the on-air numbers, because I'm going to sound like a real jerk here. Sean and Phil, they don't care what you have to say. So when you call in and you just say, I don't want to go on the air, but I want to tell you something, Sean, it's never going to get to us, and all it does is tie up telephone lines. So unless you want to go on the air, please do not use those phone numbers to share your opinion with Sean or Phil. They're not the ones doing the show. We're the ones doing the show. So please do not waste our time calling those numbers unless you want to go on the air. Thank you for your cooperation. I'd rather let you know, because, you know, sometimes people say, well, how come you don't put more callers on the air? And sometimes it's because we don't have callers. Sometimes we don't have callers because everybody who calls in is like, I don't want to go on the air, but I want you to know this, which is a total waste of time, because believe me, they're not going to say into our headphones, here's what somebody just said on the phone. The show doesn't work that way, and we do thank you for your appreciation, and I'm sorry if that sounded a little harsh, but I'd rather let you guys know what it's like behind the scenes of your radio.
Someone just texted in at 30930, which is our Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. You know, I never thought about this, but we have a lot of postal workers and people that deliver things in the audience, and we appreciate what they do. But, you know, I wonder how many people are just in 1776, when someone came up with the idea of a federalized postal service, and they made the wild allegation that we will rain, sleet, snow, electrical eels falling from the sky, we will deliver your parcels. And they're still upholding that today. It really is crazy that even in the most cataclysmic disaster, Category 4 hurricane, those postal workers have to continue to do their job in all that weather. I mean, just because Ben Franklin was flapping his gums, all of a sudden...
Well, come on. Ben Franklin's a guy who said, hey, it's a thunder and lightning storm. Here's a kite. Oh, here's a key. Let me have some fun. If your kids did that, they'd be disciplined for a year.
Do you think, though, that the Postal Service in 2018 should be considered an essential service in a storm?
Yeah, because I really need that Valpak. You know, if it wasn't for the Valpak in my mailbox every week, I don't know how I could exist.
That's asking a lot of folks. And plus, that door's open all the time. Water's just going to pour in.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.